It's 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon. My name's Jacob.
Well, I must be Mercedes then. And we're on Community Radio 3CR with Friday Rave.
Welcome back to a Friday Rave on Community Radio 3CR. It's not 5 o'clock where we are. It's just early afternoon, but it is 5 o'clock as you're tuned in here on 855 AM or 3CR digital or via all the W's at 3cr.org.au. And I'm here with Jake.
Or through your state-of-the-art surveillance helicopter in the sky.
That's right. That's right. And just to mention that it is still subscriber drive.
Yes.
Through February. So if you haven't already re-upped your subscription, or if you want to become a subscriber,
you need to do it now,
and you can do that at 3cr.org.au/subscribe or call the station on 94198377. I always just miss those last two numbers, but anyway, make sure it's pretty it's $40 unwaged, $80 if you are waged, or $150 for a business or organization, or $300 solidarity,
or $85,964 if you're a defense contractor.
Exactly. And whether there'd be some ethical issues about 3CR taking money for a defense contractor is a conversation for another day. But we're just...
Oh, you're on the committee now.
That's right. So we are just going to riff today because there's been a couple of things that have come up this week. Listeners might have known that we mentioned on the show last week about the Dissent Bar, our comrades at the Dissent Bar in Canberra.
Yep.
So after a week of, I'm sure, going through all of the relevant legislation and everything like that we don't really know what it looks like or what it means, they've found they closed down the venue, took the posters, but they've been returned.
Venue reopened. Well, it was only shut for a few hours.
Because they needed to close the whole venue down to take down some paper posters.
Health and safety issues, mate.
Yeah, I know that glue. Blue tack, maybe.
Blue tack.
Anyhow, so that's been found that there was no criminal
liability on behalf of the owners of the Dissent Cafe and Bar.
Yeah.
All right. And be good to see those posters go up on other bars around Melbourne.
That's right.
Wouldn't it? Now, I suppose we got to go to the idea just briefly. Don't want to get into it too much. And honestly, folks, we've had no pre-discussion about what we're doing today, but I want to mention that attack on the Dissent Cafe and Bar, and it was an attack.
It's a well-known lefty bar.
Is it the ongoing intrusion of the police into our daily lives? Like, who would have thought, even a few years ago, that the police could shut down a bar because of what's obviously a parodied photo in a window.
Mm.
And who would have thought that a Melbourne activist could have been arrested, charged and found guilty, was it yesterday in the court?
Yeah.
For saying, what was it, all Zionists are terrorists.
And that has been... Hash Taya has been found guilty.
We're not giving you any secrets. You could read that on the popular news sites or the unpopular news sites to you crew. And then we've got a situation where news this morning, I just saw a bit of it and I haven't looked up where it's come from, but that there are going to be police with long arms outside the MCG and Dockland Stadium during football matches.
Mm. Well, and it goes even further in New South Wales. The Minns government has announced the extension of a task force, a part of the New South Wales Police, I can't remember the name of the task force, or the operation that was set up, that started in 2023 and was not supposed to be...
That's right.
But it's now going to be a permanent fixture in New South Wales, again, with long arms. And there's going to be 250 dedicated officers for a 24/7 rapid response, access to long-armed rifles and safer streets, in the words of Premier Chris Minns.
Crazy, isn't it?
And so the safety of everyone in New South Wales is our number one priority. Not forgetting that only 2 weeks ago, it was the very same New South Wales police that were brutalising people in the streets, crushing them in kettles, going nuts with OC spray, bashing people, brutalising people during prayer. This is the same police that are now going to have long-armed rifles and to be where it matters, including at major events, near places of worship and in busy public spaces. The Armed Response Command, that's going to be called.
Armed Response Command, ARC.
Mm.
A-R-C. And then here in Melbourne, they've designated the Dandenong Ramadan Night Market. What do they call it? Prescribed zone or designated zone?
It's a designated area. So
designated
that gives,
area.
And so Tarneen and Benny, with a great legal team, actually, you know, fought the designation of the CBD in the courts, and it was found to be unlawful.
Yeah.
The 6-month designated area. And whilst the pre-existing designated area out in the suburbs, not in the CBD, the legality, I guess, of those is still, to my understanding, is still in question. That's still being examined about what the designation zones means. And so it was just the other day that the police have designated the Dandenong Ramadan Night Market as a designated area, giving them increased powers for stop and search, removal of face coverings, all of this kind of stuff at the night market.
And the cynical side of me will say the police know and the Victorian government know that it's potentially illegal, but they also know that by the time we mount any legal challenge to stop it, Ramadan will be over.
Yeah, and it is, and it's designated for the month of Ramadan.
Yeah. So So it's just tying things up in legalities, like they can put long-arm rifles and assault weapons on the streets at a moment's notice.
So that everyone feels safer, Jake.
So it doesn't make me feel safe. I've got to say that to you, mate. It does not make me feel safe. It is the ongoing intrusion of the police into our daily lives.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the policing and the police have been intruding at various degrees into lots of people, you know, First Nations people's lives and everyone, but now it's like, oh, it's just expanding, becoming much more normalised.
Yeah, and it's becoming like, you know, the proverbial and mythical frog in boiling water, that we just get used to this shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, on other news, 4 years ago, the Ukraine war began. Well, it didn't really, but Russia invaded the Donbass region 4 years ago after it was 22, after 8 years of bullshit of Ukraine, the European Union or the United States refusing to honour their agreements under the Minsk Accord of 2014, which European leaders, including the German Chancellor, what was her name, Angela Merkel, and the French bloke, whose name I forget right now, came Mitterrand, admitted that we're just there in order to give the Ukraine time to build up its defence forces. So, you know, it was just they went into an international agreement with their fingers crossed, basically. And Russia, look, I'm not a Russophile, but really, what choice did they have? We need to remember that the fascist, absolute, outright fascist forces in the Ukraine were launching pogroms on the Russian-occupied areas, or not Russian-occupied, ethnically Russian areas, in Ukraine. And part of what Ukraine was saying, well, that's okay, because this is Ukraine. It's not Russia. They shouldn't be shop signs in Russians and all the rest of it. I mean, what would these people say about the shop signs we have down in Richmond and over in Footscray or up in New South Wales in Cabramatta? I mean, what? We're using the fact that this is Australia and the shop signs ought to be in English, mate, or you can nick off back. That's ridiculous. These people were Russian for a long time, and it's ethnically Russian. And just because the border was drawn, now, not talking about the right to invade here, but the absolute hypocrisy of the West, of Russia saying to them, you do this and it's a red line and we won't stand for it. And they do it. And Russia says, okay, you do this and it's a red line and we won't stand for it. And they do it. And then they say again, you do this and it's a red line and we won't stand for it. And they do it. And Russia says, fuck it, invades.
Mm.
And, you know, then you have all the fascist forces within Ukraine being folded into the military, where it's, you know, these are people who actually wore Nazi insignia.
And many still do.
And many still do. And you've got, like, the Australian government, what could I say, raiding the dissent bar because there's a parody of Putin and Trump and Vance and a couple of others wearing Russia insignia. And they say, oh, it can't be allowed because of social co-bloody-hesion, mate.
Mm.
But then you've got, we're supporting Ukraine, who are full of people wearing bloody Nazi insignia. All right? And you go back to 2022 when it first started. And a lot of the left in Melbourne were all the way with Ukraine. You can't let a big country invade a little one. There were even, look, I hate to say it, but even 3CR was advertising evening of music for Ukraine, which was called Freedom, and the money was going to the Australian arm of the main fascist organisation in Ukraine. And I'm not actually saying fascist in a term where we don't like some, we call them a bloody fascist. I'm talking about people whose name was Ukrainian National Socialist Party, who changed their name immediately before all these fundraisers started happening. And the left were supporting it.
Mm.
And it was absolutely, and you know, the few of us who were speaking against doing that were absolutely condemned, were called campists and all kinds of things. It was crazy. And, you know, back then, I admit I was wrong. I said, this is ridiculous. It needs to stop now. Otherwise, we'll see in 2 years' time to be, you know, maybe up to 1 million people killed by this bullshit. And I was wrong. It's 4 years and it's 2 million.
Mm.
And nothing has been gained. The Biden administration, the Trump administration, Scott Morrison, what's his name? Anthony Albanese. I was going to say Tony Blair, may as well have. And all your various British prime ministers. We've had quite a succession of them over the last 4 years. All supporting the war in Ukraine. The only people who, it seems, aren't supporting it are the Ukrainian people of fighting age, who I'm just looking up a figure here on my laptop. You know, 1.8 million killed, the BBC are saying. The number of people, 5.9 million, so you may as well call it 6 million because this was some months ago, 5.9 million Ukrainian civilians who have left the country because they don't want to fight. And who could blame him?
Who could blame him? When, now, I've got to pull you up there because you said nothing has been gained. There has been gains for some
for
the arms companies.
Absolutely.
There's definitely been gains in terms of the way that we think about modern warfare and drone warfare, you know, for arms companies and even for the Australian government and the US
what
government.
What a testing ground it's been.
It has. Drone warfare, you know, we've got the Australian government now pushing for Project 156, which is the drone capabilities. Autonomous warfare, and this is, and Ukraine has been a testing ground to how things like drone swarms, how drone shields technology can be used on the ground, and a remaking essentially of a battlefield, which comes with massive profits, not from the normal arms companies. I think we looked at the figure before, and in the last year, obviously with Lockheed Martin's presence and murder in Gaza.
Lockheed Martin's share prices have doubled since the start of the Ukraine war.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
But, and also we've spoken on the program about Brave One. So it's not even just actually about war fighting capability. It's about new ways of producing weapons for warfare.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, the Brave One is basically an Amazon or a drop shipping for weapons.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a new model that is being tested in Ukraine and increasingly is being talked about as how it could work because it is a way to boost not just production but also research and development.
Yeah, and for listeners who don't remember, Brave One was the model whereby if a Ukrainian troop or Ukrainian battalion could document that they killed a Russian soldier or blew up a Russian tank or an artillery position, they'd get a certain amount of points as if you played a video game. And once those points accumulate, it's like some kind of loyalty program at a supermarket or something. You could then choose this kind of drone or those kind of new boots or that. You could buy shit.
Yeah, and it's you know, at the time we said, you know, it is absolutely the gamification of war. But I think, you know, it was only last week that a new game of Battlefield, or which is an actual game, came out with a model of one of Drone Shield's guns, which is pretty much an exact replica in the actual game. And what did they say? Imitation, I think. And Andreas Schwarz, is that his name? The CEO of Drone Shield said at the time, imitation is the best form of flattery or something like
that. Yeah, he said that. It's imitation is the best form of flattery. But I think the rest of the quote is something along the lines of, it's the best form of flattery that the mediocre could make to the great. Mm. You know, it's like it's a backhanded compliment, really. Yeah. But
pulled the other one, really.
Yeah. Well, the other thing we need to talk about today, Iran.
Yes. Yes, we do need to.
We've got the Gerald Ford, 5,000 troops. Stomping around in shit.
Not just the proverbial shit, in actual shit.
Actual shit, because their poop valve on the aircraft carrier is broken, so they can't access their toilets. So they're being forced to shit elsewhere over the deck. And I couldn't help but thinking it's rightly named after Gerald Ford because he was always full of shit. And maybe that's why they named it after him.
Maybe, but that is not the biggest news. That's what you probably see all over social media. But the offensive and
there's the Abe Lincoln over there.
Yeah.
And when we're talking about the USS Gerald Ford, which is their newest, biggest, bestest aircraft carrier, it's not just the aircraft carrier. This is what a lot of people who don't follow this ridiculousness every day of their lives. It's all the destroyers and the battle group that's around them.
And submarines.
And the airplanes that are on them. They've got F-15s, F-35s. They've got everything on them. They've got weapons on board. They'd have nuclear weapons. There's no doubt.
No doubt about
they
it.
They won't say they have, but like if a war breaks out, you think they're going to say, hang on a sec, we just need to sail all the way out through the Med and across the Atlantic Ocean and go and pick up some nuclear weapons? No. Of course not. And they're there. And they're basing planes in Diego Garcia on the Chagos Islands.
And so that is B-2s were there about 6 months ago?
About 6 months ago, yeah. Well, that was for the 12-day war in Iran.
Yes.
We haven't seen as yet B-2s leaving the United States, but they will. They're not going to go there without them.
No, and like they did last time, they might just refill out of Amberley.
They might refill out of Amberley. That's right.
And communications for these warfighters that are going there will be coming through Northwest Cape.
Well, that's for the submarines.
The submarines.
Harold D. Holt communications base in Exmouth, just outside of Exmouth, is the main communication with submarines all the way from Indonesia through to the Middle East. Mm-hmm. It's Like, this leads to the Port of Australia involvement.
Yeah.
All right, so we've got HMAS Harold E. Holt in Exmouth. You've got Kajurima in Geraldton, which is a communications base station run by the DSD and the NSA.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you've got Pine Gap, which is now, it's every time you look at it, it's bigger. It has more facilities. It's got more radomes. I think when we were there in 2003 or whatever, we were, just off my memory, we were talking about a dozen radomes. There are now 44 or 45.
Yeah, each one of them performing a different function.
Each one of them performing different functions, exactly. Yeah. And what they do is they produce signal. They intercept signals intelligence. Now, signals intelligence is in the terms of what they call PHYSINT, which is the electromagnetic spectrum that's produced by weapon systems, all right? So they can pinpoint where other people's weapons are. There's COMINT, which is communications. There's SIGINT, which is just all signal. There's ELINT, which is communications or electronic signals that aren't text or voice communications. It's the kind of what weird electromagnetic signals that different systems and different planes and different boats put out. Mm-hmm. They don't even know what they are sometimes. Mm-hmm. That's what they would be using to find UFOs, I guess. And look, let's face it, there are UFOs because there are planes and there are drones that we don't know what they are. They're unidentified.
Well, yeah, right. The US has unidentified flying objects in their air force.
USOs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so Pine Gap is central to this. Now, the other point of it is I was doing some research recently, as you're aware, of the role Pine Gap played in the 12-Day War.
Mm-hmm.
And what we come across is, and we knew they existed, a top-secret document from the NSA CSS about deals they had with Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And in that deal, exchanging information with Israel, they said that the deal allowed extensive crypto analysis and geolocation services for high-value targets in Iran.
Mm.
All right. And that's coming through Pine Gap. They make no secret of it.
Mm.
So the targeting information, it happened in the 12-Day War,
yeah.
And any targeting information that might happen next week or next month is coming through Pine Gap, unless it's through a submarine, in which case it's coming from Northwest Cape. Now, the B-2s, if they're flying over from Hawaii or from the West Coast, if they come like they did last time, first of all, communications. Pine Gap will be using the communications to let them know everything that's happening. The other point is that they will need to be refueled. They don't have a range. It'll take them from the US all the way to Iran. They need to be refueled, and they're refueled in mid-air. Like, it's amazing to watch, how they do it. But they refuel them in mid-air, and that has to be done from Australia.
Yes.
So the US and Australian takers, we've got some KCs, fuel takers, we will go somewhere north of Australia, in the Indonesian archipelago somewhere, and refuel the American B-2 stealth bombers carrying bombs that are dropped on Iran. And the bombs that were dropped last time were the biggest bombs, conventional bombs ever.
Were they the GBU-57?
GBU-57s. They're, I think, 6 tons or something like that. They're ridiculously bloody huge things. The B-2's the only plane big enough to carry them to do it. You know, it's absolutely massive. And that's, Australia is involved every step of the way. And even before a shot is fired, all the communications, all the targeting information, all the getting ready is happening through Australia.
Yeah. And I want to talk about, too, what the premise of going into Iran is. We've got J.D. Vance. So the 12-day war last year, the U.S. claimed that it had completely wiped out Iran's nuclear capability.
Beautiful. Beautiful. We smashed them. They're going to take years to build, you know. Well,
and the premise of this is that Iran are developing nuclear weapons currently. And so it kind of, I mean, this is obvious probably to 3CR listeners, but it's just like Iraq has WMDs. It's the same thing, but...
Yeah, they're lying to us.
Yeah, which we all know, but it's like, how... It's, I don't know, I feel like it's this impunity thing again. It's like they can lie, and it actually doesn't matter what they say because they're going to do it anyway.
Yeah. Everybody knows that they're full of shit, you know.
Just like the Gerald Ford.
Yeah. And here's my point. One of the points is that Anthony Albanese and Richard Dickface, anyway, and Penny Wong, they know that they're being lied to. They know it's all a lie. And yet they continue to allow US and Australian, defence facilities to be used to support this war.
But supporting in a way that they are doing nothing, saying nothing. This is kind of how the Australian government and Albanese and Penny Wong is, their kind of MO seems to be just, let's just not say anything about it.
Unless it's about ISIS brides or the kids that they bore, in which case they're disgusting human beings, and even though they're Australian citizens and were born here, they shouldn't be allowed back in the country.
Yeah, but they won't say the same thing about the just over 500 Australian passport holders who went and fight with the IOF.
Yeah, well, what do you expect?
Yeah, exactly.
What do you expect? And this is happening, but to just finish with Iran and Australia's role, we have a situation, people, where all too often we look at the media, we see what the US is doing, and we say, oh, Trump this or Trump that, we might have said Biden once upon a time, we probably never said Obama, most of you, but the US, you know, are doing this, the US doing that. It's not just the US, it is us. They could not do it without your tax dollars and your vote for these cucks that we have running this country in Parliament at the moment. And they do it. Everything that's happened that happens at Point Gap or Northwest Cape is done with the full concurrence of the Australian government. The Australian government claim that they know what happens there.
Yes, they have. They have claimed that was in the cabinet papers, wasn't it?
All the time.
All the time.
Stephen Smith started it under the Hawke government, I think.
Yeah,
it was.
Right.
Yeah. And it's been continuing since then.
So if they know, they know that information is being transferred and used in Israel's genocide in Gaza. They know it's being used by the US in Iran. Mm. They know it's being used, and so the Australian government is saying that they know that this is being done. So
and they're complicit.
Absolutely, we are. Actually, out of time. We were going to talk about the AUKDID talks.
Next week,
the defence industrial talks between Australia and the UK that happened this week. But we are out of time. So you are tuned to Community Radio 3CR. Keep it locked to 855 AM. Radio MMT is up next.
And we'll get your subscriptions in.
That's right. We'll catch you next week.